Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host on Sacred Leadership with Charisse. On today's episode, I will be diving into the topic of when the old identity no longer fits. And it seems super appropriate because we are getting to the tail end of the year. And in addition to that, for those of you who follow the Chinese zodiac, if you weren't aware, as we get near the end of the year, it is the year of the snake. And of course, what that means is that we are shedding old versions of ourselves, letting go of things that no longer serve us. And really, I thought that with today's topic, some of you might be feeling that way. So what we're going to do is we're going to chat about what that might feel like, how you can maybe ground and center yourself. What does that all really mean when the old identity no longer fits? So as we go through today, or as I was thinking about today's episode, I actually said to myself, okay, so how often have I actually gone through this experience of shedding old versions of myself? And I think when I actually started to reflect on it, I realized, well, we're probably always doing this, but consciously in my adult years, I think I was aware of it when I was probably in my 30s. So late 20s, early 30s. And I remember that being a phase in my life where my kids were, you know, just in full tilt of all the things that they're doing. I was also beginning my career as a mortgage broker. I was wearing all of these roles and all of these labels, wife, mother, sister, friend, colleague, mortgage broker, all of these things. And I remember waking up one day and just being like, okay, that's great that I'm all of these things, but I don't want all of those things to actually own me. I don't want to really own all those parts because they just didn't feel like that was all that I was. And so at that point in my life, I wasn't quite introspective yet. So what did I do? Of course, I nosed down and focused really hard on all of the things outside of me. So my mortgage broker career, my kids, my marriage, my friends, my family, all of the things outside of me, because I thought, okay, well, this might help me feel better about all of these things. But, you know, I'll tell you the thing about this journey called life is that what you resist often persists. So what inevitably ended up happening is probably about 5 or 6 years later, this feeling started to come up again. And that feeling was one of, I'm still not happy. And so then I started to really ask these questions, not necessarily to people outside or like, you know, outside of myself, like my circle, but really just kind of pondering and thinking about like, okay, well, what is it that I'm looking for? What is it the more that I want? And I really didn't have any of the answers. I just knew that what I wanted was more. And so from that point, and I think that if you are in that space and place right now, I think one of the things that I have observed now that I can look back on those times is when this time comes up in your life where you recognize that something old isn't working, a version of yourself, and you are moving into something new, it's really your soul calling on you to go within. And I think that sometimes the mistake that people make, such as I just explained that I did, maybe not mistake or maybe misstep, misalignment, is looking outside. So instead of saying, okay, what is it that I need? How do I fill my cup? How do I bring joy into my life? So on and so forth. I looked outside of myself and just put all of myself into those things outside of myself. Now we can see this in positive ways, or ways that might be in alignment or right. I hate using that language, but we'll use it for the sake of this conversation. Or we can do those in maybe outside of alignment ways. And I think some of the ways that we witness that maybe in our own lives or even in the lives of people around us who we know might not be fully happy is when we are numbing or we are over abusing pleasure and excesses in life. And I think that this is just another way to avoid that inner work that, you know, yourself, your higher self is really calling on you to do, which is to let go of what no longer serves you. And sometimes that's people, that's, you know, jobs, relationships, identities, so on and so forth. But I think it's parts and pieces of all of that. So after, this is probably around my mid-30s when I realized that, okay, I'm still not happy. Now what? Fast forward another 5 years, and then this is where the real juicy work began. And this was ultimately where there was, you know, a significant life event, and now it's staring you dead in the face. And for me, as I've expressed before on this show, is that it was the breakdown of, you know, an almost 20-year marriage. And for any of you who've gone through that, you understand that it like really can shake your identity and shake you to your core, because nobody gets married to get divorced. Nobody does that. And I certainly was not one of the people that were planning on getting divorced, but this is really where one of the most pivotal moments where the identity definitely no longer fit. And I mean, it was really stark, because I went from having this life where it was a filled social calendar with my kids' activities and, you know, being active in their sporting events and, you know, my friend group and my work group and my family and, you know, all of these things. And then practically overnight, that all stopped. And I remember the first time I lived in a house by myself, and it was, for any of you who've gone through this, it was challenging, because I went from this extremely boisterous household to one that was really quiet. And this was, to me, the most obvious beginning of letting go of an identity that no longer fit. So I was letting go of a marriage. I was letting go of a family, or at least the dynamic of a family that we had built at that point in time. I was letting go, in a lot of ways, the dynamic of the relationships with my family, my extended family, my in-laws, my friend group, you know, our mutual friends, our sporting, our kids' sports groups, like all of it, all of this was shifting. And that's a really challenging experience to go through. So for those of you who might be going through that right now and struggling with it, I hear you. I feel you. I've been there. You will get through it. You know, it's always, not to be too cliche, but it is always darkest before dawn. So you will be fine. But it was definitely an opportunity now to find my new version of me. And that, I wish I could say that it was super easy and I was very clear on what that looked like immediately, but it really wasn't. And I think that at that point in time, I realized that, you know, I'd always considered myself to be someone who danced to the beat of my own drum. And in a lot of ways I did. And maybe that was earlier in, you know, the marriage or whatever the case may be. But I realized that near the end of that relationship, I might not have been really dancing to the beat of my own drum anymore. I think that I was conforming to other people's ideas of what I needed to do, how I needed to show up, how I needed to parent, how I needed to be a wife, and all these other kinds of things, and very much lost significant parts of myself, which happens often to many people, because you're so busy giving to all of the people outside of you that you forget to give to the person who matters the most. And I definitely don't mean that in a selfish way, so do not misunderstand what I am saying. But, you know, again, we can't really, somebody had said it to me best. They said that when we give from our overflow, so of course we talk about pouring from an empty cup, but when we actually pour, when we give to people from the overflow of our cup, when our cup actually runs over because we are giving so much to ourselves, then there's no resentment. There is zero anger, zero resentment, because you're giving from the extra, the excess. So it doesn't feel so laborious. So, you know, once this relationship had ended, it felt like in many ways, trying and testing so many things. And while, you know, I like to consider myself to be very organized. So this was a little frustrating for me when it was just like, you know, I just wanted something to fit. I wanted something to feel good. And that was me rushing to get to the next version of myself instead of enjoying the journey of getting to the next version of myself. And thankfully, I think I've learned a few things over the last few years that I can probably enter that with a little more ease. But what I would say to you is if you find yourself letting go of previous or past versions of yourself, have grace with yourself. Don't rush the process. The entire journey is actually about the journey. It's not about the destination. And that's really what I was rushing to. I was rushing to let me feel good again. And I think that's what a lot of us are doing. We are so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable that we don't know how to sit with the discomfort of our feelings, the ones that we don't like. And, you know, that's where the numbing comes in and the avoidance and the rushing through the letting go phase of, you know, previous versions of yourself to hurry up and get to good again. And that actually took me quite a long time. I think I could say that I've been very intentionally on this journey for roughly the last 8-9 years. And I think it was maybe about halfway through that. So maybe about year 4.5, 5, where I was like, okay, I think I got to do this a little differently. And I really started to, instead of trying to rush through the process and get to feeling good, I realized that, well, we really got to embrace the suck. And some of that is going to be, some of the journey is going to be really great and feel really awesome. And depending on what your mission and your life lessons are, some of it's not going to feel good and it's going to be really uncomfortable. And there was a coach who had said to me one time, she would say things like, you know, find ease and grace. And I misunderstood at the time thinking that asking for ease and grace meant that it would be easy. But that's not what she meant. She was saying that what you're asking for is through this difficult situation that I can remember to be calm, grounded, centered, and have ease and grace as I move through this storm in my life. And so I think that from around maybe 4 years ago to now is when I started to understand that the journey really is about enjoying the pieces, or not necessarily enjoying, but learning to find appreciation and gratitude for the pieces that we don't enjoy, because they're equally valuable as the parts that are full of joy and laughter and all of these good, juicy feelings. So just to recap what I've covered so far here in the first segment is really what it might look like in your life when you are learning how to let go of previous and old versions of yourself. And I think that, you know, if you're somebody who's somatic like me, it could look like chaos in your life. I mean, that might be an obvious one. It might feel like chaos in your life, like you can't make sense of what's going on. You feel lost and confused. But another one that really stood out for me and has continued to be like a really clear marker in my world from a somatic standpoint or in my body standpoint is real heaviness in my chest, almost like a grief that you would feel. And that for any of you who have gone through a loss, and that could be of a relationship or someone significant in your life or a job or anything of value to you, then you know that heaviness that I'm talking about. It's the one where it's grief. And that is a significant marker of when you could be letting go of previous versions of yourself or an identity that no longer fits. So in recent years, that happened in the early years of this journey, but I wasn't as, we'll say, tuned in to what to look for. But in recent years, I think that I'm learning to pay more attention to these things that show up in my body. So we are going to go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, we will continue to talk about when the old identity no longer fits. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. but how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am talking about when the old identity no longer fits. So in the first segment, I highlighted the fact that we are coming to the end of another year, and this year in the Chinese zodiac was the year of the snake. So a lot of folks may be finding that they are letting go of bits and pieces and parts of themselves and their lives that are just quite simply no longer serving them. And in the first segment, we talked a lot, or I discussed a lot anyways, my own journey and my own experience with this cycle of endings and beginnings and shedding and rebirth and all of these things. And where I left off is just really the discomfort within that, because I think that the most important, and I think the reason why this is so important and why I'm not harping on it to make it uncomfortable, but I'm harping on it because I find that so many people in my observation are just not necessarily willing to confront that discomfort. And so, interestingly enough, this morning I was listening to the Oprah Winfrey podcast, and she had a guest on her show. I got to grab the name of this book because I really loved the content of this particular podcast. But the author of the book is Richard Rohr, and the name of the book is The Tears of Things. And apparently, he's written 42 books, and he's a friar within the Catholic Church. And, anyways, he's a spiritualist. But a lot of what he talks about is this phase where we got to be able to look at ourselves, and you got to be able to look at yourself in a way that doesn't get pulled into judgment and shame and really criticizing yourself in an abusive way. And I think that that is the piece where people get really uncomfortable with those feelings that come up, the anger, the shame, and so on and so forth. So if I go back to my own experience of like this relationship ending, this significant relationship, I mean, my relationship, that particular relationship, that marriage was 20 years of my life. And so, of course, when something like that significant happens in your life, there's all kinds of potential blame. You might be blaming the people outside of you, what the other person did, how they didn't show up, how they didn't support you, how they didn't love you. But really, when we get down to the brass tacks on it, or at least when I did, and I started looking at my own part in that, I could see how maybe I wasn't as mature as I thought. Maybe I wasn't as great of a communicator. Maybe I didn't love him in the way that I needed to. Maybe I wasn't as supportive. And when we start to ask ourselves those questions, it is very easy to get pulled into that negative thought loop and those negative stories that we start to tell ourselves. But I think the one thing that we start to learn as you go through this ending and beginning, and I'm going to use the terminology that I want to use here, and what I would say is the death and rebirth cycle of life. Once we start to go through the death and rebirth cycle of life, I think we start to begin to understand that it's okay to be critical of yourself. as long as we're doing it from a space of love and understanding that we are all on the same learning journey, every single one of us. So once I could, through that first phase of this initial breakup, where I could see that he was doing the best that he could and I was doing the best that I could, and we got married really, really young, then I could have forgiveness for him, and ultimately I could have forgiveness with myself. So that the next time one of these death and rebirth cycles came up, I got a little bit better at it. But it took a really, really, really long time to stop that negative talk. And part of this process of becoming emotionally mature and emotionally aware and having a high emotional intelligence and IQ means you got to be able to sit with yourself and look at those things that you're not proud of. So a little bit more of a recent example, because, you know, that was 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. So I was very young in this journey, but I was faced with something, oh gosh, maybe 3 years ago. And this one rocked me to my core. And it was, I think, something that most of us have experienced at one point in time or another, and it was betrayal. And, you know, I'd experienced like minor betrayal before, like, you know, somebody talks behind your back or, you know, things like that, that you just kind of brush off and you keep pushing, or you exit those people from your life and you go through. But I'm talking about the kind of betrayal that really shakes your core, where you don't understand the things that are going on in your world any longer. If you thought the sky was blue and now it seems pink, or right and wrong, like nothing makes sense anymore. And if you've ever been through, and I think everybody's been through betrayal, one of some sort. So I'm not going to speak like I'm the only person. I'm going to say it more like when you're there and you're going through it. This is really where I got to see my dark side. This is really where I got to see my shadow self. And I remember the day it happened like it was just yesterday. I was sitting in all of these feelings and I was just like, I was angry. I was rageful, and I won't lie, I wanted to inflict harm. And I stopped myself and I remember thinking, okay, this is new. I've never seen this part of myself. And I knew that that was the moment where I had to like really take a step back from my situation and just kind of analyze all the things that were going on. Because, you know, when these things come up, it's real easy to blame the people outside of ourselves. But I think the other part that I've learned is to, and this is where the learning to appreciate the challenges that come up in your life, because I'd never been faced with this part of myself, this side of myself that was like angry and vengeful and rageful and wanted to like hurt somebody. And I bring it up because it's like when we're sitting around and we're having all of these judgments about things that people do and they say and how could they behave like that and so on and so forth. I saw it in myself. I was faced with it dead on. Oh, you're hurt. You're angry. You feel vengeful, you feel rageful. And this is where we come into the justification of whatever that behavior might be, because I'm hurt. So I'm justified in this, right? And so it was at this point that I really started to understand the judgment and how I was maybe approaching life in a very righteous way, of how I was judging other people and how could so-and-so do that and so on and so forth. But here I was being faced with my own shadow self, being faced with the desire of wanting, now I didn't hurt anybody and yay for me, but I could certainly see how extreme emotion, betrayal, could cause people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And it was such a enlightening experience. So, you know, the benefit of that experience is it allowed me to, again, move into this phase of compassion, empathy, understanding, forgiveness, and non-judgment directed at the other person, because I did come to understand that after being faced with my own dark side, well, hurt people hurt people. So I really don't think that people wake up one day and just say, I'm going to go out and inflict. Well, if they do, let's not say they don't. But if they do, I think I started to understand that that was potentially coming from a place of wanting to alleviate and soothe their own hurt and their own anger and their own frustration. So what reminded me of all of this is that when I was listening to this podcast this morning, and this author and this spiritualist was talking about the need to really be able to critically look at yourself with love and compassion. Well, how else are you going to grow and evolve if you're not able to sit and realistically take stock of where you are, what you've learned, how you're growing, how you're evolving, where you want to change, where you, all those things. How can you do that if you're not prepared to sit in the discomfort of the, you know, the darker attributes of yourself? So I think that such an integral part of this letting go of an identity that no longer fits is being willing to confront those parts and those pieces of ourselves that really don't feel very good. So with that, and once I was able to do that, and this constantly happens, right? And I think the only thing that I've noticed over the last 10 years or so is that it's just been speeding up. So, you know, 8-9 years ago, there was that thing. And then, you know, a few years later, there was something else. But now when I was reflecting on, you know, today's episode and what I wanted to talk about, I was just like, well, it constantly feels like I'm shedding parts of myself. It constantly feels like I'm letting go of something. And again, you know, the timing of this topic is so appropriate because it happened again, like a month ago. And I didn't even know what it was. I was I was at home, and I was getting ready to like do a couple of podcast recordings, and I just didn't have it. There was literally nothing going on that I could visibly see. And this is like another indicator of when we are potentially letting go of something or shedding a version of ourselves. But I was like sitting at home, minding my own business, getting ready to like podcast. And I had this real heaviness on my chest and I couldn't explain it. I didn't know what it was about. There was nothing visible in my world. There was nothing energetic in my world that I could really conceive. But I think that the longer that I sat with it, and then started to go inward, I realized that these were like remnants of some of the things that had occurred this year that I was still carrying on or holding on to. And here's the really interesting part is like that was about a month ago. And I think that was leading right up to a Mercury retrograde. And for those of you that like pay attention to the planet, so, you know, I had a couple of days where I was feeling super duper low and really heavy and just grief ridden, to be very honest with you. And then I moved out of it. But then like a couple weeks later, I'm in this retrograde and all of this stuff is coming up, like left, right, and center. All of these wounds are like showing up, all kinds of triggers. And I remember just kind of being like, now actually being in the place and space where I'm like, okay, now I understand why that was happening. It was almost like bringing it to the surface, like in a very physical way, so I could feel it, so that when it was actually in my face and releasing all of these emotions, like this sadness and, you know, really rubbing on these wounds, well, now it was like in my face and I couldn't avoid it, right? I couldn't push through it. I couldn't pretend it wasn't there. It was right there. And so when I read about the retrograde, it was funny because it was like, oh, this retrograde is really going to just like poke on old wounds and, you know, see, like really bring to the surface what you need to heal so you can let it go. So I think the timing of that retrograde is beautiful because now I feel, well, pretty good overall, but I feel like the year of the snake has just been really letting go of a lot of things that really are not serving me. And the most interesting part of that is that most of the things that don't serve me are belief sets, stories. It's rarely people, truth be told, but it's mostly about myself. It's mostly about the ideas I hold about myself, the stories that I'm telling myself, the thought patterns, even the way, the mannerisms, the way that I show up, those kinds of things. It's really more those kinds of things that I've really been kind of letting go, and I can feel myself leveling up. And I don't know if you guys are with me or not, but I can feel myself shifting. We're getting ready to shift into this next gear of where it's just like, I don't have any time for this nonsense and all this kind of stuff that was weighing me down. I just don't have any room for it. Like I'm really leaving you here in 2025. So we are going to head to our second break where we will talk about that next phase. So now you're done sitting in the ick of it. What's next? We'll be right back and we will continue talking about when the old identity no longer fits.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today we are talking about when the old identity no longer fits. Before we return to the topic, though, if you are enjoying the show overall and today's topic, please, please, please go find me on Apple Podcasts and give me like a 5-star review. Hit your girl up and show her some love. I would really appreciate it. So returning back to the topic at hand is when the old identity no longer fits. And if you're in that place and space right now, you know, I remember what it feels like every single time. And it's one of these things where you literally just want to wrap yourself in a blanket of love. And so now that we've talked about, you know, the discomfort of it, let's talk about how to move through it. So for myself, whenever I found myself in this particular phase, at one point in my life, I was extremely fortunate and I had a really strong network. I had mostly friends. I don't think my family fully understood me or what the decisions that I was making in my life. But I did have quite a few friends that were really loving and really, really supportive. But here's the thing about when you go through an identity shift, you might even lose people. So the people who were once like your go-to, your ride or die, like just your family, really. And I'm not talking about your actual family. I'm talking about the family that you pick. Well, your friend family. That's the family that I'm talking about. That definitely happened to me. And it was quite challenging because I felt really abandoned within that. I felt like people didn't understand me. I felt like I was being judged. I felt like I wasn't being shown grace and compassion. And I'll tell you, my full victim came out. She came out in full force. You know, woe is me. And what did I do? And why are these people abandoning me? And, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And it got borderline like what I would probably call for myself. I've never been one to pant after people, will say. If you want me in your life, you show me. If you don't want me in your life, it's all good. And but this was the first time in my life where I was faced with having like a lot of my core girl group dismantled. And for someone who has a very small girl core group, anybody who knows me well knows that I only ever have like three to five really good friends at any point in time. And when that core girl group got dismantled, It was hard. There's just no other way to say it. It was, I don't even think I could have a conversation about that girl group without like crying and feeling like I had lost like these significant relationships. But I'll tell you what it did do. It, number one, I guess the first gift would be is, and I don't mean this in the way of isolating yourself. So be careful with listening to me on this, right? I did learn a new metal that I didn't know that I had before. I did learn how to dig deep and really understand that the comfort that we seek in this lifetime ultimately has to come from something that is not outside of yourself. And so that was probably the first lesson that I learned is that the soothing and the comfort, and that's not to, say that personal human connections are not important. They absolutely are. And we'll come to that in a second. But I did learn that my spiritual connection trumps any human connection any day of the week. And so the relationship with myself is the gift that I got from that loss. Now, the other thing that I learned is that where I was going and the person that I was evolving into, very few people understand me, and understand the core of who I am. And that in order to go where I need to go, and evolve in the way that I need to evolve, I need a team of people around me who can, I'm trying to word this in a way where it doesn't come across it, in a certain tone, but I think what I'm trying to say is like I was trying to move into a space of being able to hold space, love, compassion, and non-judgment, and I kind of needed the same thing from the core group of people who were around me. So when that core group of people was dismantled, and I'm feeling very left alone within that, it forced me to ask for a new group to come in. And I always say, ask and ye shall receive, because I was very intentional this time, right? Not to say that I wasn't intentional before, but I was conscious enough to be intentional. So I was very clear about what I wanted. And it's so funny because when you're ready and you ask for things and you're mad, they literally just waltz into your life. And I think I've even shared on this particular podcast that when I was ready for a friend, I just said, "Okay, universe, I'm ready for friends." And like within a week, I started making friends that were more in alignment with where I am now and potentially where I'm going. And the one thing that I've really, really witnessed in the last year, and trust me, I've gone through some real turmoil this last year, which we'll talk about in upcoming podcasts. But the one thing that I've really witnessed is the people who are part of that circle or this newly forming circle. I don't want to say that it's the same as the old circle because that old circle is really, really near and dear to my heart. But this new circle is like they get it. They get it in a way that it's really difficult for me to get help other people to understand. So all of that to say is that while I had to let go of relationships that could not support me, would not support me, did not want to support me, or be in my life the way that I need people to be in my life, it made way for something new to come in. So remember, this is what I was saying about endings and beginnings, death and rebirth. So yes, there was this dying of these relationships and it was heartbreaking and really, really difficult to go through. But once I was ready to let go of my heartache around that, I was able to open my heart and allow something else to come in that could support me in the way that I needed it to support me. And so let me say it loud and proud. Thank you, universe, for sending me these folks into my life. They have been extremely supportive of me on this journey. And well, we'll talk about that more later. So we've talked about when the relationships die away, potentially die away, when there's this facing of this shadow safe side of yourself. You know, maybe on the lighter side of things, though, it also gave me the opportunity to try so many different things. So, because now I'm trying to find my new self, the things that like light that fire in my belly and get me out of bed and, you know, just really make me want to go out and get after life. And I'll be really honest with you, it took me a really, really long time because for so long, you know, I think a lot of people identify that their job with like what really lights them up. And because I was so fortunate to have a career that really lit me up for so long, and that was mortgage brokering, it was really hard to like begin to find this thing that like gave me the same joy. And it's taken quite a while, but you know, it's really the birth of this podcast and what will come subsequently, which we will talk about, in coming weeks and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, it gave me this opportunity to find the joy. And I think, you know, I've definitely talked about joy in previous podcasts. And I think that as adults, we let go of that for some reason. We think that this entire journey for some reason needs to be like suffering and drudgery and dark and gray and miserable and so on and so forth. But I started just doing things that were just simple pleasures and just fun, you know, things like coloring and painting and poetry. I've always liked writing, so I started doing that. When I would be hanging out with my children are probably a great place to return to childhood, because kids, they're just joyful. They're just pure joy. And so they allowed me to return to that really fun, loving part of myself that sometimes gets lost when we are moving through some type of transition. So those are some of the things that I have done to, you know, move myself through this shedding of old self. And so going back to like this recent, you know, experience where I was going through this thing of like shedding, and I was really lucky because, you know, first, if you remember about a month ago, there was like this super heaviness and I really didn't want to do anything. And then I had this, like, I'm not even kidding, I was like crying all the time. And it was great because it was very cathartic and I could like let go of a lot of things. But then I was able to like move into this space where life was still happening and there were still things that were coming up, but it just felt like I was able to like move through them easier. So even though things were challenging and they were not necessarily sunshine and rainbows, I definitely remember days where it was like I felt like a kid. I felt so blessed to be having the experiences that I was having. And I remember even coming when I was going to Nigeria and I was recounting some of the experiences to people, I could feel myself light up. And the thing is that it's not like I wasn't going through things. I absolutely was going through challenges and disappointments and things that didn't feel good. But I was able to like move myself into this space and place of where I'm like, you know, even though life's not 100% right now, it's all good. There are still things that are going on around me that I can have gratitude for. I can find joy in. I can find love in. I can just really fully lean into and enjoy. So all of that to say, I think that once you consciously create with the energy, and that's really what the point of all of this is, the shedding is going to happen. Well, I shouldn't say it's going to happen. I should say it more than likely will happen. And I think that if you don't allow it to happen or to co-create with it, it's going to be really difficult. It's going to feel like drudgery. It's going to feel miserable. It's not going to be enjoyable. There won't be anything to learn from it. And I think that one of the other things that I wanted to highlight is, well, actually, I'd already said it at the very beginning, whatever you resist will persist. So when these things happen, instead of like, you know, asking, why is this happening to me? Maybe the question is, what is this trying to get me to do? Or how is this experience trying to serve me? And today, if we look at today's topic, it's like maybe it's trying to serve you by getting you to let go of things that no longer serve you. And so instead of fighting with the energy and holding on to something, old versions of self, relationships, jobs, money, things, people, you name it, instead of holding on to these things for dear life, maybe just surrender, let go, and let the shedding begin and just see what else is possible. Because as sad as endings are and letting go can be, I don't think the universe has anything bad in store for us, even when it seems like the universe is conspiring against us. I can definitely say that even the things that don't feel good are more often than not in the best and highest interest of my own journey and ultimately the collective. So we are going to head to our last break for today. But when we return, we will wrap up this conversation on when the old identity no longer fits.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm talking about when the old identity no longer fits. Before we wrap up this conversation and this topic today, if you want to learn more about what I'm doing and what I'm working on, please visit me at www.pavitraleadership.com. That's P-A-V-I-T-R-A leadership.com. Equally, you can email me at Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. As well. I will tell you the website is not fully live yet, but within about a month it should be. I'm super excited to share some more information with you guys about that. And again, if you are enjoying today's content or any of the content that I'm putting out here on the Inspired Choices Network, please find me on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your content and give me a 5-star and give me some feedback, please. So, anyways, returning to the topic at hand, when the old identity no longer fits. Just to recap a lot of what I've been talking about today, I've really been sharing a lot of my own journey. And I feel like it's important to say to you guys, like, you know, this podcast, this production, Sacred Leadership with Charisse, let me be the first person to say, this is not perfection. Okay. I do not have all the answers. I am simply creating this space, this container where you can join me on my journey if it resonates with you. And you can, you know, we can do this together, because at the end of the day, it's a journey, but we can't do it by ourselves. We got to do it in co-creation with the divine and other parties. And at the end of the day, I think that there's something to said about having some members of a tribe with you that understand and get it and can appreciate where you might be on, where you might be in your journey. So to kind of recap this entire episode before we wrap it up, at the beginning, I talked a lot about, you know, a lot of those heavier things that have occurred in my own experience and having to let go of, you know, this 20-year relationship and my thoughts, beliefs, ideas, and being faced with the dark side of me. We all have it. So I'm just going to say it. We all have a dark side to ourselves. But, you know, what do you do when you're faced with it? And that's another part of learning how to let go of previous versions of yourself or shedding old versions of yourself. And the only way to really get to that place is to be able to sit with that and be critical of yourself, but not in a way that is judgy and lacking of love and empathy and compassion. You know, being able to face yourself without shame, and that's a big one. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I haven't had my own bouts of shame. I think there's enough shame to go around for many people. But then I also pivoted and talked a lot about, maybe not a lot, but a little bit about, you know, the phase where you can begin to like really lean in and embrace the experience for what it is. The parts that feel really juicy and really good and really intentional and are filled with joy and happiness and love, and even the parts that don't feel so awesome, and how we can still equally meet those experiences with equally love and compassion. Maybe not joy, but love and compassion, right? And I think that if we can find a way to really co-create with that energy and that experience, then ultimately we'll all begin to create a very, very different world that we are living in. And you know, when I was listening to this other podcast this morning, and not to talk about other people's content, but the reality is that so much of what I am experiencing right now and is really resonating with me is like other leaders that are basically saying the same thing, which is like part of this leadership experience. And let's just break it down for a moment and realize that when I talk about leadership, I'm not talking about leadership of necessarily organizations or businesses or governments. I am calling on you and I am inviting you to be a leader in your own life. I am calling on you to have enough courage to be able to face those things about yourself that you don't love and face those things about yourself that maybe do bring you, and I'm not going to use the word, so let me not say it, but face those pieces of you that are maybe parts that you're not proud of, and challenge yourself to face them with love, empathy, compassion, and understanding. And when you can begin to do that for yourself, then we can begin to do that for the other people that are around us. This is certainly not an invitation to allow abusive experiences or people into your world. That's boundaries. That's another conversation altogether. But the piece that I'm trying to drive at here more than anything else is the piece of around non-judgment. And when we can begin to face ourselves without judgment, then we can also begin to face other people without judgment. And all of that to say that it's a beautiful, glorious experience of letting go of those pieces of ourselves that no longer serve. So it's been a really joyful journey. No, it hasn't all been a joyful journey. It's been challenging, I won't lie. But it's been highly educational, and I really have enjoyed a lot of the experience. So just in summary, the first stage of that is when you realize that there's something that's not working in your world. You can feel it physically in your body. It might even just be externally depicted to you through chaos and just, you know, incoherence, we'll say. The second part of that is, you know, the facing of self and the dark emotions that might go with that. The third piece of that is going into your introspection, right? And really being critical of self with love and compassion. And then the fourth piece of that is beginning to find joy for the things that you love and equally the things that don't feel so great. So that when these cycles, and you will find that these cycles will, they'll move faster. So as I'd said in my own experience, you know, 10 years ago, roughly, I wasn't as aware of these, endings and beginnings. But now I'm very, very aware of it. And I guess I should be, because realistically speaking, like, I don't know what the science is around it, but I think that I heard that, when you're really, really young, I think it takes like 7 days or something for your skin to like fully shed. And, by the time you're my age, I'm not going to give you the number, it takes like 30 days for your skin to like fully regenerate. So, you know, if you think about that, we're constantly changing. We're constantly letting go. We're constantly regenerating. But I'm talking about in a bigger way. I'm talking about in the ways that you can really begin to change and transform your own life. And these are all the necessary parts of becoming a really great leader in your own life. So if you're feeling challenged in your work, in your relationship, just within yourself, maybe this is an opportunity. There's still time left in the year that you can begin to let go of these pieces of yourself that no longer serve you. Thank you so much for joining me today, where we talked about letting go when the old identity no longer serves. But next week, I will be joined by Andrew Brummer, where we will be talking about how surrender becomes the gateway to true leadership. So you can see very clearly how this is all aligning quite well. When Andrew comes on, we'll be talking about, he'll be telling a little bit, I don't want to give too much away, but what I will say is this is just a continuation of that, right? How do we learn how to let go? So you know, today's episode, we were talking about letting go of the parts of yourself, the very personal parts of yourself that might not be serving yourself. Because as I said, what you resist will persist. So next week when we talk to Andrew, he will be talking about when the universe just rips it out of your experience. So thank you again for joining me today. Until next time, take care of yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Cherise returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.